Did you notice that it snowed this week? I don't know why it's so difficult for us to accept. I don't know why we get so angry. It snows in New York every winter. Difficult winters are the norm for Northern Europe as well. And yet this winter, London, Paris, Frankfurt, Moscow, and New York City all saw their airports closed because of snow and ice, and all were accompanied by public criticism of the slow pace to the return of operational normalcy and capacity. Where there is incompetence, we are angry for good reason. We expect our officials to do their jobs competently. That's why we hire them. Although from my own experience, I can tell you, actually very few people in this world are competent. If you find one in your field, hold on to them tight. If there's somebody who actually shows up on time to work every day and shows up where they're supposed to be and does their job competently, it's a rare thing. If, as some are suggesting, there was a purposeful labor union slowdown in New York City, we get angry for good reason. It would be truly outrageous if people died because emergency vehicles couldn't get to their destination as a result of some officials trying to prove a point. I think also we're probably seeing the global effects of budget cuts. But my point is broader. Why do we become so disoriented and so angry when nature does to us what she always does? Isn't it just common sense that snow will render West 68th Street impassable for the duration of the storm and as long as it takes for the cleaners to clean up? Shouldn't we expect that the runways will be unusable until the storm passes? I think that modern people are more superstitious than our predecessors. We are the most irrational generation of all time. There has never been a generation more irrational and more superstitious than us. We think we're so advanced. We're scientific. But in reality, we believe in magic. It snows. And we follow everything on something called a television or a computer. And by magic, the roads and the runways will be clear. Because we see it. You know, go to that TV channel or go to this or that website and you will see. The runway is clear. Technology has done this to us. As Italian intellectual Umberto Eco wrote, addiction to technology has to do with the eternal resort to magic, the assumption that it is possible to go from cause to effect without taking intermediate steps. That's what magic is about. It's why we're so attracted to magicians. We see the Queen of Hearts in the deck, and the next thing we know, it's in our pocket. How did that happen? The fascination is that somehow, between the act of putting the card in the deck and finding it in our pockets, all of the intermediate acts have been eliminated. And that's magic. Now, we know it's not real. We know something happened in the intermediate to get that card into our pockets, and yet we're drawn to this thing called magic nonetheless. How did he do that? Most of us are carrying in our pockets computer systems more powerful than those that took astronauts to the moon. We touch the screen, and everything we want comes up by magic. Do you know how it works? Really, I mean, is there anybody here who's designed this little pocket system and built this kind of machine and knows what's inside and know how all that stuff happens so that it appears on our screen? We press a button. Actually, pressing a button is ancient technology. We touch a letter on the screen. 100 messages are waiting for us. Does anybody know how that works? Technology has delivered for us a product that began in our friend's head and has eliminated all of the intermediate steps of delivery: the writing, the enclosing, the sealing, the sending, the arrival, the unsealing, the reading. We can track planes in the air through GPS, their websites. I know, because my daughter was a week late in arriving in England from the snowstorm there. So I found out about all these websites that track these flights in midair. We know precisely where they are at any given time. We forget that cross-Atlantic flights that take perhaps half a day, something, by the way, that even 100 years ago seemed impossible, we forget that flights do not materialize by magic at JFK. It's not simply a matter of following their progress on our computer. It actually takes a crew to get to the airport and fly this monstrosity by taking off and landing on runways that are dry, or at least dry enough at the current limits of our contemporary technology. We can follow snowplows through GPS, you know. You could have followed that too, their websites, to follow which roads have been cleared, and they put on each of these plows a GPS system, so you could follow them and know with precision what street they're clearing. We don't really process that cleaning a street is not a function of finding that plow on our iPad GPS system. It's not magic. It actually takes a driver to get into a truck, attach a plow, and clean the street. And that's hard to do when it's snowing. But we're so disconnected from that process. We have obliterated cause and effect. We are so advanced that we have become unbelievably primitive. To paraphrase Joan Didion, this is the era of magical thinking. We're far more superstitious than the ancients, whom we like to disparage every chance we get. You used to have to know how to read maps to get to one destination or another. When I was a teenager in the military, I was especially good at navigating. This meant that I could read a topographical map with precision and lead my unit to a little hill in the middle of a desert at midnight by following the North Star and the Little Dipper. The Little Dipper. Go and look up Little Dipper online. Go and look that up after Shabbat, tomorrow night. You know what you'll find? That it's a robotic instrument that automates washing and drying of microarrays. I don't know what I just said, but that's what it is. That's what a Little Dipper is online. We don't need to navigate by the stars anymore. Just plug in any address in the world and follow the directions of that foreign-sounding lady on Neverlost. Get it? It's called Neverlost. Modern people believe that it's our birthright never to be lost. So we get angry when the foreign-sounding lady leads us on the wrong way. And she has the temerity to tell us at the first chance, make a U-turn, rather than owning up to her own mistake. Those foreigners. You expect to get to work when snow covers the train track? How? By magic? Like finding the Queen of Hearts in your pocket without resorting to the intermediate steps of someone actually putting it there? You expect to get to Mexico for winter break in a blizzard that reduces visibility at JFK to 10 feet? How? By magic? Like pulling a rabbit out of a hat without going through the intermediate steps of somebody actually putting the rabbit in the hat? And you think that you're not at all superstitious? You call yourself a modern non-believer, a rationalist, or are you simply putting your faith in another God? I get on a plane at Heathrow and I'm frustrated by my jet lag when I land in New York. I've become so accustomed to magic that I don't even give a passing thought to the cause and effect. Jet lag is a modern phenomenon. It never happened before the era of speed. I turn on my computer and I'm angry that it takes so long to boot up. I do. Yes, from time to time, you hear me on Monday morning, Emily, this computer is slow. Of course, she needs to fix it because what do I know? I was studying Talmud at that time. I've become so accustomed to magic that I don't even give a passing thought to cause and effect. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against technology. Far from it. I much prefer indoor plumbing. It's just that I fear that more technology, technologically advanced we become, the more irrational we become. To expect something to materialize by circumventing cause and effect is the very definition of magical thinking, a superstition, belief in false gods. In this week's Torah portion, Vayera, Moses confronts Pharaoh with the first six of the 10 plagues. All of the plagues, except for the last, the slaying of the firstborn, were grounded in acts of nature. Pharaoh was a bit like us. He didn't have an iPad, but he had the next best thing in the ancient world. He had a group of magicians. The Bible tells us about them. The waters turned to blood. Pharaoh's magicians did the same. Frogs covered the land. Pharaoh's magicians did the same. Lice struck the country. The magicians tried, but couldn't produce the lice. And they had reached the limits of their capacity to control nature. And it was only then, when the magic didn't seem to work, that the magicians knew that they were in trouble. This is the finger of God, they warned. We have reached the limits of our technological know-how. Pharaoh, in his arrogance, was the last in Egypt to understand reality. He still believed in magic. But there was a limit to Egypt's mastery over nature. The entire confrontation between Moses and Pharaoh was about forcing Pharaoh to connect the dots, bringing him to understand cause and effect, the cause being God and the effect being the plagues. It was not about magic. It was about humility and faith in its proper place, faith in God, not in the false god of magic. Think of that. Next time you put your faith in never lost GPS technology, and ask yourself, who is more superstitious? The one who follows the stern, rude instructions of the foreign lady? Faithfully and without question? Or the one who proclaims religious devotion? Who really is never lost?